We have two scriptures this morning, first from Isaiah 11 and then from Matthew chapter 3, the first six verses. But before we read God's word, I invite you to bow for the prayer for illumination. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we may understand your will and follow your way that leads to life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. First, from the prophet Isaiah, we hear these words: A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide the equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Then from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness in Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Today we continue the second Sunday in Advent, our New Year's journey through the liturgical year. The theme for us is preparing for the coming of Christ and his peaceful kingdom. And I think it's a pretty good time to talk about preparation. Out in the world of retail and detail, you've got plans that sprang into place as far back as September with lots of tricks of the sales trade to lure us in. Come on in to the big box stores, or if not, shop from your easy chair at our cyber stores. Deals and more deals ring themselves into our realm by every means possible, day after day after day. We have new days that pop up in the calendar that are special days to spend money. You don't have to have a reason. Just name it and claim it. It's a new day. Most of us, no matter how well we've tried to plan ahead, find ourselves caught up in the fast pace of the race to get ready for Christmas. Preparations on the home front have involved, at my house at least, making messes. To bake and to cook ahead, putting away fall decorations to make room for getting out other decorations for Advent and Christmas, cleaning up messes and making ready for company that may be coming for a visit. There's extra baking and cooking. There's shopping online and standing in long lines, boxing and wrapping, mailing and receiving extra mail and packages. And boy, am I grateful for all those people that are shuttling packages all across the world, trying to get them to us on time. Plus, there are parties to plan, parties to host, others to get dressed up for and to attend. There are pageants, there are parades, and the list goes on and on and on. For those still working outside the home, there may be extras to plan, extra orders to fill, year-end deadlines to meet, sales goals to achieve and exceed, office parties to plan and attend, and a whole multitude of details to be cared for before we can close shop for a few hours or a few days to celebrate the holiday of Christmas. Here at church, preparation has involved decorating the facilities, collecting for poinsettias in honor and memory of family and friends, recruiting Advent wreath lighters, rehearsing for our Christmas cantata, which, by the way, is next Sunday morning in worship. We've collected sneakers and socks for the Salvation Army to distribute to the needy. We've also collected extra food for Helping Hand to share with hungry folk. We've been making ready for the 5 p.m. candlelight and communion service that'll be held here on Christmas Eve, as well as the many year-end matters of worship planning and closing out things in the church office. These are just some of the details of preparing for Advent and Christmas. And still there is the other part of devoting ourselves to the coming Christ of Christmas. I've got three different Advent devotionals. I'm getting up 45 minutes earlier than usual so that I can read these devotionals. And it's only been a week and a half, and I'm trying my best to stay current in those readings. You'd think it was a real arm-twisting kind of thing, but I enjoy it. And yet it's one more thing added to the list of many others. And yet at the heart of this season is the coming Christ of Christmas. So I don't want to miss out on that part in the midst of all these other details, hearing the angelic messengers, the song from the mother-to-be, seeing and hearing the shepherds in the field and recognizing the carpenter and his young fiance. The stories of the Gospels take us to the homes of their cousins, and more angel messages are heard, and we get to see Herod and his finest advisors. We'll eventually get to see Magi and their gifts being brought. Prophecy of branches bringing forth life from a stump. That's part of our story for today. And today we get to hear that story from the prophet Isaiah, whose very name means salvation of the Lord. He was an 8th century prophet, so it was over 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus that Isaiah was walking the earth, was listening to God, and sharing God's prophetic messages with God's people. He lived during a time of great political, military, and religious unrest, and so God sent him out to speak of the pending downfall of the corrupt leaders of that day. He shared the pain and the oppression of his people, and yet he offered them a word of hope that God would understand and intervene. Judah needed a righteous king, not a corrupt military leader. They needed a person with power and wisdom whose righteousness and reverence for God would help that person to govern justly and to bring peace to a war-torn nation. Our passage today from Isaiah 11 describes this wonderful world that Isaiah sees unfolding as God's kingdom overtakes the world. He calls it the peaceable kingdom. There's so many things to see in this text. The first is that passage of a live shoot growing out of a stump. something that seems kind of awkward. And yet if you've ever cut down a tree, you know that roots are pretty determined and they will push back and send forth new life. This is part of the story of this peaceable kingdom, that there will be life coming out of the apparent places of death. There will be predators and prey being able to live side by side, and babies being able to play unharmed near the den of poisonous snakes. I must admit that one of the first associations I get out of all these images is that of live Christmas trees. You've seen the signs right there where they've cut them all down, but they've called them live Christmas trees. What did they do to get them there? They murdered them, right? They cut them off at the stump and they netted them and brought them to lots, and then they promoted them as live Christmas trees. They can grace your home. Now, I realize the real differentiation there is between a tree that once was live versus one that never lived because it was fake all along. However, the once live trees' days are numbered from the time they were cut in the hills of western North Carolina and brought to the beach, to the sales lot, and in no time their beauty will fade and their needles will fill up your floors. But you'll get to enjoy the smell of them throughout that time, along with whatever mites they brought with them from the mountains. Have you ever felt cut off like that? Lifeless from where you were before? Transplanted into a new place but not fully settled? Perhaps coming here to Myrtle Beach, you felt uprooted from your former life, cut off from those people and places that you love the most. Perhaps you know the struggle of trying to put down new roots in a new place and to find the things in this new neighborhood that can sustain you here. Hopefully, Celebration Presbyterian Church can become a place of life support and sustenance as you are becoming rooted here in this new community. Back in 1906, the author H.G. Wells wrote a story entitled In the Day of the Comet. It was a science fiction story about a mysterious green vapor that descended from the clouds and covered the earth. And the vapor had the immediate effect of putting all people on earth to sleep for 3 days. And when they woke up, their inner nature had been radically transformed. All of their petty quarreling was put to an end. Instead of seeking fame or power or wealth, the people of the world started serving one another. Love, kindness, and generosity became more important than greed or success. In short, it was a perfect society that emerged where there was brotherhood and sisterhood with dignity for every human being. Now, that was back in 1906 that H.G. Wells fantasized about that kind of a world. But long before him, Isaiah was fantasizing about the same, because God was giving him a prophetic vision based on hope that God was bringing about a kingdom whereby things would be radically changed. The prophet Isaiah looked forward to that kind of wonderful world as well, where you'd see opposing forces like a wolf and a lamb being able to cuddle up together, and the leopard lying down with a kid, and the calf and the lion. And there was even a place for me. It says the fatling will be there with them. So I was like, how good of God to make room for me in the midst of this wonderful world. And a little child shall lead them. And of course, he was not anticipating a green vapor that was going to come down out of the clouds, but he was pointing to one little branch that had popped up from a dead stump. He says, out of this lifeless stump has come forth life. That's Isaiah's way of saying that a Messiah is coming who will establish a new world order. He's going to bring a new kingdom in which love will be more important than power, and service will be more important than domination. And then Matthew tells us that his cousin, who has preceded Christ in his birth, begins his ministry of doing just what God put him on the earth to do, prepare the way for Jesus' ministry. He's out in the wilderness and he's calling people to repentance and he's proclaiming a change in the way things are going to be. What good is it if we save individuals but we leave them in a world that tramples down their dignity and crushes their hopes and aspirations? This good news that John is aware of and Isaiah is aware of is a good news that's going to be good news for all people. And that is that the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, came into the world to be the seed of this new kingdom, a kingdom of love and light that is still alive and still at work right here, right now, among all God's people. The only thing that keeps us from seeing it is that we get distracted with other things and we fail to acknowledge how God is bringing things together in ways that we could never imagine. Christ's kingdom, born of a righteous branch from Jesse's stump, dispels darkness, ignorance, exploitation, and injustice everywhere. Everywhere that the good news is fully proclaimed and lived out, both in word and deed. Now, that's what the word gospel means, good news. No earthly ruler can forever suppress it. No evil can resist its fury. The gates of hell cannot prevail against this kingdom, which God has brought into being through the birth of the Christ child. The world, once tied up in conflicts of every kind, will be set free. There's a day coming when former enemies will become friends. Children will play safely without fearing things once considered dangerous and deadly. Nature, as we know it, will be reversed. Lions with lambs, snakes with children. And there will be an outgrowth of grace and peace and justice as God's godly King, Christ Jesus, leads us in righteousness and faithfulness. We will work together to meet the needs of the poor and the weak. We will uphold the cause of justice. We will strive to see that everyone has enough, that there will be a share in both the peace and in the equity of all that the world provides. The Lord of hosts shall accomplish this. And yes, God may choose to use simple folk just like you and like me to accomplish it. How good of God. John the Baptist charges us to repent. He looks around and says, change direction, for you're going in the wrong way. He's calling us back to God to follow this King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty. And he urges us to start right where we are. First with our hearts, to prepare our hearts to receive Christ. Clear whatever clutter is within us that might keep us from receiving Christ fully. Clear the clutter in my mind. Clear the clutter in my attitude. Clear the clutter in my home, and that's a major problem. Clear my hands that I might receive the goodness God has to share and embrace the one who is our hope. We have to start where we are, working for peace, following the Prince of Peace, searching first for peace in our lives, peace in our homes, peace in our world, and a lasting peace in our lifetime. This is the wonderful world that Isaiah and John saw for God's people. And it starts very simply within you and within me. And then it ripples outward to impact all of us. The beginning of such preparation and transformation for our community into this wonderful world is something as simple as a smile shared with a tired store clerk or remaining calm, believe it or not, in traffic or in the parking lot when someone took your place or in the long line, wherever that may be. It starts as we share our time and our talents in those very places of unrest to spread God's love to share a word of peace with others. It starts when we offer respite to another who is weary beneath life's heavy load. It can begin with a gift of shoes and socks and food for those in need around us. It happens when we risk sharing our lives and our means and our love with those who are both broke and broken down during this Advent and Christmas season. And trust me, if they're broken now, they'll still be broken in the new year. So the need will not go away. The opportunities will just be prevailing for us. No wonder the angels sang in the heavens and the Magi bowed in their adoration, as Philip Brooks was right when he wrote in the little town of Bethlehem, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." Please stand now for the charge and our benediction and our closing hymn. From the bulb there comes a flower. From the desert rock, a flow of water. From the rainbow, there comes the hope of new life. From the Bible, there comes a word of truth. From the cross, there comes the love of God. From the tomb, there comes the resurrection of life. From the prophet comes the vision of a wonderful world. From the stump of Jesse, from that dried out log, from a family tree that has lost all integrity, there comes a shoot of David, a lifeline of salvation, with the promise of justice, with a longing for transformation. It brings a word of life, the expectation of a Messiah. From the stump of Jesse comes a covenant from God reborn. And from the wilderness comes a charge: repent, for the kingdom has come near. Friends, prepare for the coming Christ. Now go forth into the world with compassion and justice in your heart. Give voice to the silent and give strength to the weak. Hear one another, see one another, care for one another, and love one another. It's all that easy, and it's all that hard. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and powerful presence of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen.